When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Been talking about the Commanders' win over the Dallas Cowboys to end the regular season, to propel them to the sixth seed in the playoffs throughout the morning on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Starting to look ahead at the matchup with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we're going to check in with our colleague, MP on the mic, Michael Phillips. You can listen to him weekdays 10 to noon on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. What's up, Michael?
Yo, power's out here at our house. I can drive into the studio after this.
That ain't great.
I'm guessing it's all right there.
Michael, what were you doing the last time the Commanders, then the Redskins, were racking up 12 wins back in 1991?
I was 6 years old, yeah, back in Wichita, Kansas. Big Chiefs fan, Christian Okoye, Derek Thomas. They were winning 12, but then doing nothing in the playoffs under Marty Schottenheimer. You remember him. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's been a minute. I also wasn't out here yet when they won their last playoff game in Tampa. So hoping to see something I've never seen before on Sunday.
What kind of is this a real 12-win team? I mean, I think we could beat anybody, but man, we've been so fortunate in some of these games.
The last four games have all been settled in the final 6 seconds of the game, right? That's crazy. That's a number of coin flips, and it sure feels like every coin flip has gone their way this year. I know that's not literally true, mm-hmm. but man, it sure feels that way. Just starting with the Hail Mary, every time they've needed a play, they've got it. And obviously DQ is going to tell you that's a sign of a resilient team, a pressure team, a crunch time team. There's a little bit of luck involved, but there's a lot of skill involved, and a lot of this is number five, too. I mean, when Jaden's on the field, they feel like they can win. And even yesterday, Jaden wasn't on the field. They had Terry on the field. Mariota felt he could win. This is a team with a lot of belief in itself.
Yeah, Michael, part of the reason that they have that belief and the reason that they're getting these close wins is because they're actually in these games. Like in some of the Ron years that he was here, they were getting blown out where they had no chance of even competing in some of these games. So just the fact that they're in the games at the end, they have the chance for the Hail Mary, or they have the chance for the last second win against the Eagles, it's just a testament to what Dan Quinn has done and what obviously Jaden Daniels has done at quarterback.
It's an unqualified success of a season. No matter what happens on Sunday, everybody sees that. It's been a very successful rebuilding year. But at the same time, it's fun to dream, and I love this matchup. This was my favorite of the three possible matchups.
Really?
I think, everybody's waiting to see if Lattimore can come back. I mean, that's the key. Him and Evans have such a history. That's a get your popcorn ready if Lattimore's on Evans Sunday. Jaden's been so good at learning and growing and processing information all season. I think he wants a second chance against these guys to show they got to him. Todd Bowles' defense got to him in week one. We saw him rattled at times. I think he wants to show he can move past that and he can give it back to him just as good as they gave it to him.
Any worry about Jaden Daniels' leg soreness that is supposedly why he didn't play in the second half?
Yeah, what's concerning me is the offensive line health, which I think is leading to Jaden getting beat up. I mean, we're all seeing it. As much as we heap praise on Jaden, Tyler Biadasz might be the actual MVP of this team. There's just such a huge drop-off when he's gone. Then you lose the left tackle as well, it was the smart move to get him out of there. Nothing good was going to happen to him as the Cowboys kept blitzing him. The O-line health is going to be very important, especially against a Tampa team that does love to bring pressure, does love to blitz. I don't worry about Jaden's health in the moment so much, but you're probably going to need him to run for 60 to 100 yards to win this game. I mean, that's what unlocks it. The other thing is you got to get B-Rob going. We've been waiting for it the last few weeks. This would be a great time for him to have a great game, maybe take some of the heat off of Jaden, ease up his workload a little.
Well, see, I think, and Cakes and I were arguing about it, I was even arguing a little bit with Kime about it, I think the reason why you haven't seen B-Rob go off is because of guys like Biotish and these other guys that are rotating on the offensive line. It's not like Brian's any different of a back now than he was in the first 8 or 9 weeks when he looked so good.
I completely agree with that take. Yeah, when the O-line suffers, everybody suffers. And that includes, you know, he's been a little off to Terry the last couple of games. You've seen that. The communication just hasn't quite been there. He's having to get the ball out a little quicker. And those things are incremental and add up. So much of football just distills down to winning in the trenches. And you're seeing the effects of a beat-up offensive line right now. To the extent, right, and nobody's saying this team's going to make the Super Bowl or this team's going to make a magical run. I'm sure somebody's saying it. But with this offensive line, I think you're hoping to win a playoff game, everything that would mean for the fan base, the franchise. But this isn't an O-line right now that's ready to go hang in big boy football in Detroit and Philly in late January.
Listen, I'm not going to put anything past this team, Michael. And I will say the magic carpet ride is possible. Now, we could easily get blown out and lose in the first round. But it's 1 week at a time. And listen, we've been saying it for the last few weeks. I know a lot of teams feel this way. But who would want to play us? I wouldn't want to play us, especially if we knock off Tampa and we advance, get a little momentum under our feet. Listen, you were here, Michael, when the Caps won in 2018, I believe, and were in the vicinity. And you understood that that wasn't a team that was picked to win a cup. Same thing in 2019 when the Nats won the World Series. There was a magic carpet ride chemistry thing that happened with those teams. And I could make the argument that those ingredients seem to be here because we're not overwhelmingly talented beyond our quarterback and maybe our star wide receiver.
I think the Nats is the great comparable there, right? Because Juan Soto gets that hit against the Brewers. Everybody believes you get the home run in L.A., right? Those magical moments, those winning time moments, DQ would call them, right, that Terry McLaurin references all the time. You just need a couple of those. I think the other thing I'm really going to be rooting for Sunday, even before kickoff, is a Packers win against Philly, because then the Packers go up to Detroit. And, you know, if we're talking about matchups, I told you how much I love this matchup. I'd love a second-round matchup against either Minnesota or L.A. I mean, that's as good a path as you can draw through this thing right there.
Michael, maybe this is a game, too, against Tampa where they do just have to lean on Jaden's arm because with the beat-up offensive line, the Bucs are already top five in stopping the run. So maybe this is just one where they're like, we're not going to slam it up in the middle against this team that is adept at stopping the run. Maybe this is just one where Jaden has to win it with his adeptness at passing.
Certainly wouldn't bother me to see that. Maybe Terry can win it with a great game receiving. You know, some of the great games over the past few years have been when he gets 100 yards, when he gets a couple touchdowns, when he gets rolling. Zach Ertz seems to be in a real comfortable spot right now, too. I love what he's bringing to the table. I think Cliff Kingsbury's in his bag a little bit as a play caller right now. I think he's having some success. I think we rightfully asked in the middle of the season if this swoon was a real thing. He's pulled himself out of it really well. That trick play yesterday that Zacchaeus dropped in the end zone, that was a heck of a football play.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's doing the best he can with this offensive line. So you talk about the ingredients. I think Cliff's calling plays at a high level. I think the receiving talent is there with Terry. And I don't put anything past number five. He's delivered time and time again. You think about the magic moments he's had as a rookie. I mean, three or four just absolute lifetime highlight reel moments. It takes some guy's a career to accumulate that many.
Here's a hot take that I had last night, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit briefly earlier, but, as fans, we keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? All season, we keep waiting for it. Like, we can't believe this good fortune. Most people around here don't remember 30 years ago. I do. Of course, we do, because we're old. A lot of this team, other than like the John Allens and the Paynes and the Terrys and maybe like Jeremy Reeves, there's been so much turnover. These guys are almost like naive to it. Like they've heard that the fans have, been, missing out on this winning and that sort of thing. But they don't care. They don't have all of the scar tissue that we have. I think there's something to that. They're not waiting for the other shoe to drop. They actually believe in themselves.
I think also the fan base has come back a lot quicker than I thought it would. I thought it'd take a long time to get back to where games at FedEx were really rocking, where games, mm-hmm. you know, on the road you had big, big turnouts. But, you know, Dallas yesterday, a ton of fans. That's been the case at a lot of road games this year. And that Atlanta game was a bona fide great atmosphere at Northwest Stadium, which I'll remember someday, probably when they rename it again. But, you know, this is a fan base that I thought was – going to take a little time to come back, but they've jumped back in and they made it a great environment. I think back to those Josh Norman teams and the DJ Swearinger teams. That was their number one gripe every week when they came into the locker room. I just played a home game and I got booed off my own field by the opposing team's fans. We're not seeing as much of that this year. I think it's much closer to the league-wide average, and I think everybody's running behind that as well. They feel supported.
Mm-hmm. How many wins do you think? Everything's the same. Same GM, same offensive coordinator, same defensive coordinator, but Ron is the head coach. How many wins?
That's a great hypothetical. I think Ron struggled in in-game management situations, and what have the last 4 weeks been if not in-game management situations? You know, you're talking about games that come down to the very last second. They're not a 12-win team. I know that for sure. I don't think they're a 4-win team.
Right.
I don't, you know, I think they've got a level of...
Maybe eight.
I think eight or nine is probably fair. They were in the hunt until the end. They tailed off. It was a bounce back season. You know, a little optimism for next year, but I don't think they're a 12-win team now.
Yeah. Does the early timeout burning though by Quinn in some of the last few games, does that give you cause for concern?
It irks me. I don't like it. I think you got to take the good with the bad with any coach. I'll tell you what made it easier to go down was watching Raheem Morris absolutely blow.
Oh, that
the
was the worst I've ever seen. That's the worst I've ever seen.
That's a lauded young coach there. People are, oh, you know, this guy.
What are the other guys thinking? How does he not have another assistant saying, Coach, we got to call time out here?
If I'm a coach, I have somebody in my headset who has played a lot of Madden football whose job is exclusively to yell at me, call a timeout, you dumb person, and I'll run out and do it. You know, it's too important. The game's right on these things.
Right. Yeah, totally.
All right, so facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played them in week one. They had a lot of difficulty, obviously, stopping the passing game. Does that make Lattimore that much more important if he's available in this game?
I think he's essential personnel. I mean, you know, no personal disrespect to St. Juice, who I like a lot, and I don't know Igbinoghene that well, but Michael Davis either. You can't tell me any of these guys can hang with Mike Evans, though. They just can't. I mean, you think about it's going to be a parade of penalties if St. Juice has to guard him, and Davis just isn't up for that task. Igbinoghene's been great when he's in a role, but that role isn't covering one of the best receivers in the history of the National Football League. I really do think this game hinges on two guys showing up to play, and that's Biadasz at center calling out the O-line and making things more comfortable for Jaden. And on defense, I think it's Lattimore. You look at his history with Evans, too. If they both play, that's going to be a fun game with some fireworks there. You're going to see some drawing. You're going to see some back and forth. That's exactly what these guys need. These guys need to get Tampa rattled early, get them out of their comfort zone. I'm watching that very closely all week.
Talking to Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, who you can listen to after us weekdays 10 to noon on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Pass rush. So in week one, you remember Baker seemed to evade them over and over again, four touchdown passes. Do you have confidence that Washington can get to them this time?
Well, I'm hopeful John Allen will bring a little magic, right? Love seeing him get a sack yesterday, get on the board. It's not a Pro Bowl caliber pass rush. We've seen that over the course of the year, but they've held their own. They've done some nice things at times. I think in conjunction with the linebackers, you know, Frankie Louvu, he's a guy who needs to have a big game. Obviously, he's had a lot of big games this season. But to me, it comes down defensively. Can you be opportunistic? You know, so how many interceptions have they dropped this year, right? And then in the games where they've converted those and flipped the field, you see Jaden punch it in. You see him, you know, turn in quick leads. I think about the Cleveland game, the Arizona game, right? Playing on short fields, racking up big leads. Defensively, a lot of this is going to come down to getting those takeaways. You're going to get the chances against Baker. He's a gunslinger. He's in that Brett Favre mold, right? He'll give you the chances. But if you drop those interceptions, he's going to come back and throw a touchdown on the next one.
And if he doesn't do that, Bucky Irving is going to gash this defense. I mean, Bucky Irving outrushed Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, James Cook, Chase Brown. He's done it basically as a part-time role. He really emerged in the second half of the season. That's a real rushing threat that complements Baker and Mike Evans in the passing game.
No bad teams left when you get to the playoffs, certainly. And I think in the NFC, that's so true. I think there's two better-than-everybody-else teams. I think that's Detroit and Philly. But you can put the other five in the hat and draw numbers in terms of who's which seed, right? I think it's just five good teams that have flaws but also have the ability to make some cool plays from time to time. It's going to make this playoffs really fun on the NFC side, is watching these matchups. And this is a really good Tampa team that beat them fair and square by 17 in week one. You know, that was a game where these guys weren't as ready to go. I also think it's fair to say it's a different team. It's been 17 weeks. Jaden's seen a lot. Jaden's grown a lot. I'm certainly giving them a pretty good chance on Sunday.
If you had to pick, would you pick the Commanders to win?
My heart says yes. I've watched four cardiac finishes in a row, right? Mm-hmm. The Saints missed the two-point conversion. You know, the drive against Philly, overtime in Atlanta, the throw yesterday to Terry. You can't quantify it. You know, you get Neil Greenberg on here. I don't think there's any numbers, but man, it's good, and it's fun to watch, and I'm not going to be the guy who picks against it.
I'm not either, brother. Believe me.
All right, Michael. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Take care, guys.
You all too, right, man. Buddy.
That's MP on the mic right after us. Weekdays 10 to noon on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
The rest of the way, I'm just picking all heart. Like, I take a lot of pride that I think I got by one. I think I beat you by one. Mm-hmm. I picked them weekly, the best of any of us here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do it based on heart. I think the Eagles game I did, and I got lucky, right? When Jalen went out. I picked them who I thought was going to win every week. Fair and square. From here on out, I'm picking us, and honestly, I'm just picking on heart.
Going with the ticker.
I'm going with the ticker from here on out.
Look, they're going to be underdogs.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Definitely, they already are an underdog against Tampa. They'll be an underdog the rest of the way. But with Jaden, you got a chance.
Definitely. And there's something special.
And even if you look at the three-game losing streak, you know, when they went from 7-2 to 7-5, they played really good teams. Pittsburgh game came down to the spot.
Could have won a couple of them.
And then Russ pulled them offside. Yeah, Dallas game's a bit of an outlier, but you know, they hung in there against the really elite teams. So
there's no reason why they can't. The only reason why they couldn't is it's just they've been pretty fortunate so far in some of the, like, how many times are you going to keep getting lucky? I don't know.
Like, a break has to go against them at some point.
Yeah, a break's going to go against them. But right now, they got a little of that magic carpet dust, and I'm not betting against them.
We'll talk more about the Buccaneers a little bit later. John Ledyard covers the Buccaneers, longtime NFL draft reporter. He will join us coming up at 9:20. But next, we'll shift gears. We'll talk a little entertainment. There was the Golden Globes last night.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to do that and more here on The Junkies.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.